we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more time. Yes, we've been made. Oh, thank you, Father. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you believe that tonight? Amen. Not gonna be. We are now. Amen. More than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Isn't it good to be in His house? Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Play some more of it, guys. It's good to see you, buddy. God bless you, Brother Brett. Good to see you. God bless you. God bless you, brother. Good to see you. God bless you, Brother Bert. Good to see you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you, Junior. Good to see you, buddy. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious. The Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Joel Brown, I want you to come in a minute and be getting ready to lead us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. I want to pray for Sister Ruth Ward, who is sick, unable to be in the service tonight. So certainly want to remember her. I want to continue to remember Sister Meredith Maxwell in her lengthy recovery and rehab. Just pray that the Lord would bring her along. I want to pray for Sister Shirley Robbins, a lot of pain in her back, so let's remember her tonight. I want to remember Brother Fred Green, not feeling well, had surgery on his wrist. I want to pray for him tonight. The Lord will touch him. Brother Charlie Torres is doing much better. We'll try to be in the service tomorrow. Thanks to everybody for your prayers, calls, and cards. So certainly want to remember Brother Charlie. We miss him when he's not here. I'm glad that the Lord is touching him. Brother Baker says, please pray for the family of Doyle Cook. He passed away recently. He and I worked together for many years, so let's remember that family tonight. Request prayer for my niece, Diana Massagi, who is very sick, has been in the hospital for the last few days. Sister Gerald sends that in, so let's remember her tonight as we pray. Sister Jan Hall says, please pray for me. I found a lump under my left arm where they took out cancer, and I have to go to a breast center for an ultrasound. Please pray. It's just scar tissue and nothing at all. So we just commit that to the Lord and ask God to be with her. Sister Connie Cook says, remember her in prayer, not feeling well tonight. So let's pray for that need. Nathan Miller sends this in for Andina Jackson, who lives in Kingsport, Tennessee. She wants prayer for her to sell her home and move to Johnson City near the Happy Valley Church. So let's pray that the Lord would work out those details. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He had to go to the hospital last night. He's feeling better today, but still needs prayer for healing in his body. So let's remember him tonight. Special unspoken prayer request for Brother Pete Lawson and family. The Lord knows all about that need. Brother Bobby Hayton's here in service with us tonight. He took a serious fall, and the Lord's bringing him along, and he's back in service with us tonight. Brother Bobby, God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy. I want to pray for Brother Wes and Sister Lisa and the family for traveling mercies this week. The Lord will just be with them. Pray for the bride also in Israel during this time. Just pray that the Lord would be with his people around the world. Sister Jan Winters needs her heart meds reevaluated. She's having bad side effects. She wants to come to church so bad. So let's pray for our sister tonight. A spoken prayer request for a wife and 6 children. Their father left them in June. So we just pray that the Lord would undergird those children, that wife, that mother with his love. Sister Phyllis Phillips, blood pressure keeps going up. It's very high. She needs her prayer, so we certainly want to remember her tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're serving a great God, aren't we? Do you believe that with all your heart? Let's stand tonight, if you will. Brother Joel, come and let's just pray. Let's sing that chorus together one more time. We've been made more than conquerors. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors. Sing it, buddy.
Heavenly Father, every avenue,
yes, Lord Jesus,
every byway, every street, every road down which this old life will carry us, and quite frankly, sometimes the decisions and choices that we make will lead us, brings us to situations where we need to call upon you. And as I sat and listened to these names called, Lord, I've often thought when we come to church and hear prayer requests, Lord, there are so many situations that I will forget just in the human grab bag, the things that we have. We are forgetful and things slip our minds. But Lord, each name would fall upon someone's heart. It would fall upon their mind and they would get a hold of you somewhere. Maybe it's someone over in Africa, someone in India will pick up these requests and they will hear a name. No one that they don't even know this individual. But Lord, they will begin to pray and call out your name, call out their name to you, and that you will intercede. So Lord, we're bringing these needs before you. Lord, we don't come in a formality. We don't come in a form or a fashion, but we come in a way tonight that will bring you on the scene. We ask that you would just move for these individuals, oh God, those who have been sick, Lord, even my own family, Lord, this sickness that struck there a few weeks ago, Father. I just thank you for deliverance, and I just pray that you would be with that congregation there in North Carolina and Brother Tim as the pastor, Lord, and the things that he's had to go through and all of this, oh God. I just pray that you would just move according to your will and your purpose, and may this service be an exemplary service, Lord, set forth in the annals of time. It'll go down on the record, Father, that someone truly moved closer to you and they got a hold of you tonight. Forgive us of all of our sins, our shortcomings, our trespasses, and those opportunities that we took today to fish upon that posted property, oh God. Forgive us of those things, oh Lord. We love you. May everything that's said and done tonight be for your glory and for your purpose. And may someone that's in this service tonight that will be by way of the internet, that will hear this services or by way of the CDs that will go out, Father, may someone come to know you. That's our purpose, oh God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we glorify you. You said that if you would be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto you, oh God. And no doubt there's hearts here tonight that's burdened, that's low. We just ask that you just slide in beside them on the pew. Lord, those that are home who are sick even yet, may you just encourage, undertake for them. We just commit it all into your hands, and it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, pray the service will be a blessing to them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, we had a wonderful time here last weekend. I didn't get to be here, but I streamed, and I'm going to tell you something. Heaven on earth was right here last weekend. And I know if you was in this room, you was in heaven on earth. And Wednesday night, well, you told me to get ready. Wednesday night was just heaven on earth again. Well, just welcome to campground. Welcome to camp meeting. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Be bold. Be strong. Let's see if we can sing this tonight. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. You believe that with all your heart tonight. You believe He's in the camp tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Be bold. Be strong. Lord, thy God is with thee. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. We're walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walking in faith and victory, Brother Joel. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walking in faith and victory.
Oh, sing it.
Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Camp, tell everybody, get ready, run into the camp, tell everybody, get ready,
it's time to get ready,
are you ready to take the land, are you ready to take the land, are you ready to take the land, for the Lord thy God.
Walking in faith and victory.
Walking in faith and victory.
Walking in faith and victory.
For the Lord thy God is with thee. Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready. Get ready. Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready. Are you ready to take the land? Are you ready to take the land? Are you ready to take this land?
Thank you, Father.
For the Lord thy God is with me.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
Oh, be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
The Lord thy God is with me. Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
The Lord thy God.
Camp again. Hallelujah.
Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready. Get ready.
Hallelujah.
Run into the camp. Tell everyone you know, get ready.
Glory.
Get ready. Are you ready to take the land?
We are ready.
Are you ready to take this land?
Hallelujah.
Are you ready to take this land?
Thank you, Lord.
For the Lord.
Everything you got. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Be bold, buddy. Say it again.
Be bold. Be strong.
Oh, be strong.
For the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My God is with
you. Yes,
me.
He is.
Be bold.
Oh, church, be bold.
Be strong.
Oh, sing it.
Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Walking in faith and victory.
Oh, yes.
Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory.
Oh,
for the Lord thy God is with thee.
One more time.
Be bold. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory.
For the Lord
thy God.
Tell us about it.
He surely is with thee.
Yes, he is. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, King of Kings. The great I Am. The great Jehovah. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you, buddy. We appreciate you so much. You can be seated tonight. Brother Brett Lawson, he's got us a song tonight. Somebody had told me that this guy was a singer, guitar picker, and well, we're going to listen to him tonight. I believe he'll bless your heart. Give him a good hand tonight as he gets ready to sing for you.
say a prayer for me.
Thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call out for thy highest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon. Mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Him to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind thy wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, wander from the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it, seal it above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, wander from the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. Praise the Lord. Brother Brett, God bless you. We enjoyed that, didn't we? Amen. Let's stand tonight as we get ready to go right into the service. Brother Donnie's going to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight. How many of you looking forward to hearing the word of God? You want to pull on the gift of God in our brother's life? Amen. Let's sing this little song tonight as he gets ready. We're working on a building. We are being worked on by the master craftsman of all. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We go back to the potter's wheel once in a while. Pretty much that's where I live. But Lord, get me ready to get out of here. That's all I really care about. Just get me ready. Amen. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building.
for my Lord, for my Lord. One more time. We're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord.
Praise the Lord. I truly hope our work, our life, our endeavors, the things that we give our hearts to, that we're really working on the building for the Lord. Because if it's not, it's fixing to be absolutely annihilated. Everything we're spending our time on, our money on, our heart's desire, this, that, and other, if it's not focused on Jesus Christ, it's fixing to be blowed to smithereens. If I'm going to live and I'm going to work and I'm going to put forth a lot of effort, why not do it for eternal value? And why do it for things that's going to amount in time and you lose it all anyway? I think we should do everything we do with the Lord Jesus in mind, don't you? Amen. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14 tonight, if you would. You bunch of Pentecostals, I thought I was going to come out here and calm you all down. You was a screaming and a hollering. I thought Sinking Creek had moved up here or something. Sinking Creek Holiness Church. I love it when the children of God come to worship them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The way our nation's going, friend, the way our rights are being challenged and all that, I think we should take advantage of every time we have the opportunity to come to the house of God. You may pull up your next Saturday night or the next or the next and be a sign on that door right there that they've shut us down. You'll long for these days then. You'll long for a good sermon, good singing, to be able to come together and hear the Word of God. I think we better enjoy it while we can. Take advantage of it. Numbers chapter 14, verse 36. I want to speak to you tonight on the power of assimilation. And the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord.
Yes.
But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still.
Amen.
Let's look at the word assimilate again. Assimilate means to take in and incorporate as one's own. Absorb, to bring into conformity with the customs, attitudes, to cause to resemble. That's where we are.
That's right.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much tonight, Father, for this privilege that's given to us. Father God, we want to, with all the sincerity of our hearts, take advantage, Lord, of each time that we have to come together. Lord, we don't know exactly what will happen before the bride leaves this world, but we can see it already, the raising against truth principles of your scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would help us as the people of God, that we will stand like your people have stood before. As we endeavor to look into your word tonight, may we be benefited from the word of God. May we be helped, challenged. May we be charged by the presence of the Holy Ghost. May we be able to assimilate that which will be spoken tonight. May the results of the assimilation lead us to a body change. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We become assimilated to those with whom we have fellowship and to the objects or the things that are around us that we familiarize ourselves with and enjoy their company. Now, what we want to do tonight, the Lord willing, is to look in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we want to read several passages of Scripture where Moses actually retells the story about the spies and about Israel's rebellion. Read with me, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. When we were departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. Now you mean that they were actually led of the Spirit of God, they were in the will of God, and led to what Moses called a great and terrible wilderness? Yes, they were. So they're on their way to Kadesh Barnea. Several different routes now that they could have come to Kadesh, but for whatever reason, the Lord led them to this particular route. You know what? It convinces me that as the people of God, that wildernesses and journeys and difficult things sometimes, they're in our past. And whether or not we like them, we're going to have to face them and overcome them by God's grace. Now, ultimately, they're going to Kadesh Barnea, which is the judgment seat, and then they'll make their choice from there on whether or not they will go on into the land and let the land unfold itself into their lives, or they will decide, well, you know, we've decided we're not going to go. Now, watch. So Moses says in verse 20, "And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it." Now notice what happens before the spies are ever sent over. Moses is bringing them a message of possession, that God has ordained that they have this land, and the choice is laid before them. Now, he's going to do this before the spies are ever sent out. Notice again what he says. "God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God, or the Lord God of thy fathers, has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Now, this is the message that is prior to the spies as they are going to return and bring their negative report against it. So the message of God goes forth first. It is positive. It is real. It is factual. It's based upon what God thinks and about what God says about the land. Now remember this. The message of God goes forth first. Then the spies are going to go forth second, and they will come and bring a bad report, but the message of God went forth first. Then they're going to choose which one they're going to believe. Notice again he says, "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what we must go up, into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out." Now notice Moses is now, Deuteronomy is duos, which is the repetition of the law. It is two covenants, two ways by which you approach God. So here, duos, Deuteronomy, God is reminding them of what actually happened. But if you'll notice when you look at this compared to the writing in the book of Numbers, you'll find that some of the instances are said and recorded a little bit different. It's not all said exactly word for word for word. So for those of you who want to pick and compare, I'm not sure exactly what you're going to do with this. But yet here, this is Moses' account, which comes or is said in a little bit different way than in the account in the book of Numbers. Now watch Moses as he brings it from a prophet's point of view. "You came near to me." Now this is Moses telling them, "You all wanted me to send the spies there, and it pleased me well, so I decided to do it." Now he gives to them, he reiterates to them exactly what God did, in that God had spoken to him, and then God had sent them out in order to bring the fruit of the land. "And they took the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down to us, and brought us word again." So they bring fruit, and they bring word. word. Now here they come, and of course it is a very mixed multitude, and they come and bring to us again, and they brought us word and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, which the book of Numbers says nevertheless, notwithstanding you would not go up, but ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Now Moses jumps directly from the fruit and the word which they brought back. And Moses here ties in the rebellion of the people instead of the speech of the spies first. Now notice, you can only blame the spies for so much. Praise the Lord. But it was actually because the rebellion of the people's hearts, which had already been manifested over and over and over again, that even gave the rebellious speech of the spies a foothold or a place by which it could even grow. And it's the same way today. Don't you understand, friend? The gathering that is going on in the world, the gathering that is going on in politics, the gathering that is going on to pull people around this message, all of this is supposed to be. It has to be. The ranks must be weakened, but when they are weakened in number, they will be stronger in quality. It always happens that way. God will get away the faint-hearted and the weak, and He will pull them away from His elect, and the elect will truly shine when that hour arrives. So Moses here now, Deuteronomy, identifies that the speech of the spies could have went nowhere if there had not been a people that would have received it in the first place. And he identifies them receiving it to their rebellion. Notwithstanding, you would not go up but rebel against the commandment of the Lord your God. What commandment was it? Moses' message. Moses' message. When they rebelled against Moses, they rebelled against God. Moses said, go up and get the land. Go up and get the land. It's your land. You can do it. God will give it to you. That was rebellion against God's word. When you and I rebel against the message of Malachi 4, we're rebelling against God. If that's what you wish to do, that's entirely up to you, but not me. No, not me. Notice this now. So ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and ye murmured in your tents. Now they bring it from, of course, when the 10 spies come back, and they begin to report it publicly where everybody can hear it, Moses, Joshua, Caleb. So they have a public meeting at the door of the tabernacle, and they begin to give their mixed report. And then the mixed report goes back, each leader now goes back to his tribe, and begins to try to affect the tribe, that they will assimilate through his negativity things that will be contrary to the promise of the Word of God. And then the fathers take it into their homes and they take it into their tents because this is where they live. And then they go to talking about it. Don't you understand? It makes no difference how much I preach to your children about going to church, living right, and doing things. What I say is going to only have a little bit of impact. The way you live will have more impact than what I say. If they hear me say, go to church, go to church, go to church, go to church, but they see you not going to church, which one do you think they're going to do? You are telling them by your actions going to church is not really that important. I don't care what you say. I believe it's important to go to church. Not if you put anything and everything in front of going to church. You don't think it's that important. Many of you are more faithful to your job. You're more faithful to work. Some of you won't hardly miss work. You've nearly got to be in a stroke and a heart attack before you'll miss work. But buddy, you sure won't do church that way. You know why? Because you think more of your job than you do the house of God. And the Word of God, which you say is being preached behind this pulpit, which you say is getting you ready for a rapture. Do you really believe what you are saying? Well, don't get quiet on me now. Praise the Lord. Look, friend, no matter how much I tell your children, don't watch television, no matter how much, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. It makes no difference what I tell them. If you live a life in your tent that is contrary to what I'm saying, it's going to absolutely make it of no value.
And this is what they've done. The prophet of God stood up there before them and told them, you can go in and take this land. It is yours. God has already given it to you by divine promise. It is absolutely yours. But you know what? These men begin with this negative thing to say it, and the rebellion already there in the hearts of these people, and they were looking for something anyhow. They were looking for something anyhow because they didn't have no predestinated inheritance over there. Oh my. So you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. Where did they get that? Where could they get that idea that God brought them out because he hated them? When you assimilate lies, you are opening up yourself for another lie, another lie, another lie. They assimilated the lies on the land. And when they assimilated those lies, then the power of assimilation now breaks down their perception of truth. And now in their thinking, they're thinking God actually hated them. And God brought them out there so he could be mean to them. You think assimilation ain't a powerful thing? I guarantee it's a powerful thing. Oh my, look at this. You murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. How in the world could they get that out of that? Look at your own life before you judge them too harshly. Because the Lord hated them. You mean he done all those miracles and all those signs and all of those wonders because he hated them? No, God never hated them. God loved them. Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. How did this become so warped in their perception? How, Brother Jim, could they have become so warped in their view of reality that now instead of God loving them, which God said in Deuteronomy 4, you're a special people to me. You're a peculiar people. There's nobody like you all. I love you all. I've given you favor. I've done things for you I've never done for anybody else. But in their mind, once they assimilated the unbelief of their brothers, then they begin to be so warped in their view. Now they think God hates us. God actually hates us. Oh my goodness. Lord Jesus, help us. They had assimilated these lies. Now watch in verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. And I'll tell you, friends, this is a very dangerous thing for us as Christians. Because we have the ability to discourage or encourage one another. Husbands, wives, children, pastor, deacons, trustees, all of us together as a body, we have the ability. I don't think we realize how serious this is, that we have the ability to discourage. A preacher can get up behind the pulpit and he can let his trials and his discouragement and the things that he's going through dominate him. And dominate what he's going to say and even how he will minister. And if he's not careful, he will put a negativity over that entire service. And you left thinking, oh my goodness, I was so encouraged when I came. I'm dragging the bottom now. What in the world is the matter, Lord? Is it me? You know what? It's because that man wasn't able to get out of the way enough to lay his trials aside and let the gift of God be anointed. It's the same way with every one of us as the people of God. How many times did you come in and sit down? And instead of trying to press beyond your discouragement, you sat there in your little dynamo and you just sat there during the singing. You sat there through the prayer request and you're putting out by this little dynamo, discouragement, discouragement, discouragement. And the people around you can feel it. And it's like they can never rise above it. Do you realize you'll be held responsible for those people you've affected? Oh, Brother Donnie, shouldn't I come to church when I'm down? Yes, you should. But when you know you're down, you should come in. Your Lord, God, help me. You see I'm down, Father. You see I'm discouraged. I don't want to create an atmosphere around my brothers and sisters that might hinder them. But Lord, help me to get out of the way. Kneel down there and pray. Come up on the altar and pray. Say, Lord, deliver me of this thing. I don't want to wait till the altar call, Lord. I don't want to wait till after the preaching is over. I need to be affected now, Lord. I need to be helped right now. Get this thing off of me, Lord. Hallelujah. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Boy, these walls are getting bigger every service I preach on this, ain't they? Man alive, they've grown since last weekend. Now they're all the way up to heaven. Walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. Now what's Moses trying to do? Get them to assimilate truth. They've assimilated lies. They've assimilated exaggeration. And Moses is trying to get them to assimilate truth. Amen. Dread not, neither be afraid of them. Amen. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. Amen. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Children, can't you see what the Lord God has done for you? He saved you. He's filled you with the Holy Ghost. He sent minister after minister in here to this church to preach to you when things only you and your wife or you and your God knew. And he's done it because he loves you. Amen. If he's done that, will he not lead you on? Will he not complete his work in your life? And notice he brings it right back to their own personal experiences. You all have seen this. You have seen what God has done for you. Notice in verse 31. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bears thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way ye went until ye came to this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. You see, they had so assimilated into the evil report of these 10 spies that now they go back and even look at the prophet's message and it has no value. If this ain't perfect for where we are, oh my. Notice how particularly close that Moses now brings a visitation of God to them in verse 33. And he says, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in. God was so concerned about them that he went before them on their journey, and God himself searched out a place and said, this would be a good place to camp tonight. And then they pick up and move tomorrow, and God went ahead of them and said, this be a good place. Oh, hallelujah. I believe our Father's just as mindful of us tonight, don't you? I believe if we pray and we are led of him, service after service, weekend after weekend, he'll pick the right place for us to land for Wednesday night. And then he'll pick the right place on Saturday night, and the right place on Sunday morning, and then the right place next Wednesday night. Amen. Notice who went before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by which way you should go and in a cloud by day. What's he doing? He's reminding them of what they themselves saw. Now this is the dangerous part. Verse 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words. Now this is the dangerous part for us as individuals. Satan can lie to us. Preachers can lie to us. People can lie to us. It won't affect you unless you allow it to. God will never judge you for what other folks say. But it's what you say. Now God began to hear their words, not just the words of the spies. Now they are echoing because they have assimilated the words, the lies of the spies. So now they have become their words in so much that the prophet Moses said the Lord heard the voice of your words. So these words started in hell. They were anointed by demons upon the mouths of these people who was following the message of that day. And then they become mixed and exaggerated and twisted, and then they are under demonic anointing. And then here's all of these hundreds and thousands of people that are standing there hearing these demonic anointed words. And they begin to say them over again, over again. They go into their tents and they begin to repeat them. Don't you see what they're doing? They are assimilating. They are eating. They are becoming those words. Don't you understand, friends, why it's so important that you and I hear the Word of God, feed on the Word of God, talk the Word of God, meditate the Word of God? Now God identifies the words of the spies as being your words. Praise God. But if it works that way in the negative, don't it work that way in the positive as well? And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth. Now God's mad. Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. I've made probably about everybody that comes to church mad one time or another. So far, none of you ain't killed me. So far. Don't mean you ain't brought your gun to church and thought about it, or maybe some sort of something or another. But you know what? I'd rather make all of you all mad, plus the nation, plus the world, than to make God mad at me. Oh, buddy, when you get God mad at you, you're in a world of hurt. So your God heard their words and was angry, wroth, and then once God heard it, God swore. Uh-oh. Now God hears their words. He doesn't even offer them a space to repent now because they virtually crossed the line. Moses reminded him, Caleb reminded him, and they went right on. So now God hears their word, and God said, I'm finished with you all. That's sad, but that's where our nation is. Now listen what God said in response to their words. Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto their fathers. Not one. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. Glory! How? Well, what was the difference? Did he hear their report? He did. Did he hear their murmuring? He did. Did he hear their complaining? He did. But he would not allow his soul to assimilate what they were saying. This man is not a fool. Did he not stand there and see the giants? Did he not see the walled cities? He saw all of that. But he refused to assimilate the negativity of the report of the message of his day. It didn't make no difference how many YouTube videos they had about Moses or whatever websites they've started up about Moses. But Caleb stood up there and said, let's go get it. We're more than able. Hallelujah. Why? He would not allow himself to be assimilated under the power of demons. Let me say to you tonight, Happy Valley, you want to go the way of the world? Go ahead. You want to go to Laodicea? It's up to you. But for me, I'm going to serve the Lord God with all of my heart, my soul, my might, my strength. So here you've got hundreds of thousands of message people that are being told by God, they're one on one of you, cross over. Remember, there's 600,000 men, just men only, fighting men when they left the land of Egypt. Historians tell us 2.5 million with women, children, and all. Now you're dealing with a generation of people that have become so hard and so difficult. They make their own choices. They make their, I like this, I don't like that, I want this, I don't want that. That's rebellion, see? Amen. Now God says, say Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon. Notice, he's going to get the land where he walked. You better get your shoes on. I said you better get your shoes on. If God's going to give you the amount of message that you walk on, how big will your portion be? Well, glory. If God's going to give you the amount of message that you walk on and the what your portion is, a housewife or whatever it is, how big will your inheritance be? Brother, sister, we better get our shoes on and get to walking around. Amen. Hallelujah. Unto him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he parts his hair on the left side. Because his curls hang down right. Because he's not a very problematic type of person. Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. I wonder, children, I wonder right here tonight, how many people are in this assembly who wholly follow the Lord God? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14. In the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we came over the brook Zered was 38 years. 38 years. And they're marching around and around and around. How did Caleb keep encouraged in the march? It wasn't his fault. It was not the fault of those children 20 years old and under. But they could not go into the land until that old generation died out. We're at the same place. Not so much old generation by age, but for those who really don't believe this word. Notice, so there are 38 years until all the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. You mean to tell me God has now turned against the children of Israel? God has now prophesied you will not go on. You will fall. You will be destroyed. And the same hand of God that brought them out of the land of Egypt is now the same hand of God that is turned against them and said, I'll consume you. I'll kill you. You will not go anywhere. Children, let's not play with God. Let's not feel like we can do whatever we want to do. No, it's not us doing what we want to do. He's the one that does that. Oh, think of it. He owes us nothing. He don't owe us the time of day. We are recipients of His grace, and we ought to be so grateful for it. Oh, my. Notice what's happening. The army, the host of Israel, is being greatly reduced in number. 14,000 dies here. 20-some thousand dies over there. Another 1,000 over here. Another 5,000 over there. But reduction means increase. Now, not the way you and I add up. If we've got 2.5 million and we take away 2 million, that don't mean increase. You're not using God's multiplication table. God has His own way of adding and subtracting and multiplying. Amen. That's exactly right. So you got 2.5 million and you got hundreds of thousands that you take away from the 2.5 million, and God says it's greater now than it was before. You think, greater? How in the world? You've got hundreds of thousands. We're losing them right and left. They're leaving. They're going here. They're going there. Yes, sir. Exactly. Supposed to. And they're being took away so that the real church can get bigger. And the quality of the real church will get greater. Not in number so much, but in quality and in character, which is what God measures anyhow. You see, we don't conquer by number. We conquer by quality. We don't conquer by the numbers of the world. Man, we're way outnumbered to start with. Now, you know, it's true in the way that God looks at this, that one hero has more value than 10,000 cowards. One hero has more value. Glory. Now let's look in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, if you would. What's the results of Caleb's assimilation? Then the children of Israel came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Now Moses is gone. Moses' earthly visitation has been terminated from the earth. But Caleb is still saying what the prophet said even after he was gone. Now he was privy to the human errors of Moses. He was privy to a lot of the things that went on inside and around the message. But did that make Caleb want to leave after Moses was gone? He's still quoting the prophet of God years on down the road after Moses has left. Oh God, let me be part of that Caleb tribe. Now, as I showed you last week, that Kenaz was evidently a descendant of Edom, but was assimilating the tribe of Judah. And I found this week. I want to share this with you. That Caleb rose to the chief of the tribe. Before the Exodus, Caleb's father, a non-Israelite, had married a daughter of Hur in the clan of Chalubai, which was in the tribe of Judah. So by marriage, Caleb was brought into the tribe of Judah. That's how I got in. By marriage. Oh, so who did you marry? The king's son. The lion of the tribe of Judah. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jephunneh actually marries a believing woman, the daughter of Hur, down in the land of Egypt. Hallelujah to God. He wasn't born in a message pew. Caleb never cut his teeth on a message pew. So this word really had value to him. It really had some value. You know why? Because it was revealed to Caleb. He wasn't born in the right home, with the right family, with all the right things. He come from a dysfunctional mixed marriage type of situation. But it never hindered him at all. He believed God's word. He had faith in God's word. And it kept him. Caleb was the recipient of two divine promises. That was, he wasn't going to die until he got to land. And the second was, he was going to get the land. It didn't make no difference how many times Caleb had pneumonia, chicken pox, anthrax and dethrax and all the rest of the thrax brothers. It didn't make no difference if he had crippling arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, or the worst of all them arthritis boys throwed together. It didn't make no difference because God said, you're going into that land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But now you imagine 45 years is a long time. 45 years. Now Caleb did not have tapes to go back and listen to. Caleb did not have book after book after book after book with promise after promise after promise. But he had one simple promise in a verse in the book of Deuteronomy and one in the book of Numbers, which was reiterating the same thing. They said the same thing. So he had one little short phrase from the prophet of God that you're not gonna die. You are going to inherit that land. You imagine he fed his soul on that one promise. And the Lord has given us hundreds times hundreds times hundreds. Come on, children. You know it's the truth. What's wrong with our faith? We got more promises than he ever had. And many times our faith is as weak as dishwater. Now you imagine now, Caleb had 45 years of discouraging, broken-hearted times. 45 years of wondering and complaining and grumbling and fussing. Thousands dying on the left. Thousands dying on the right. That's enough to discourage a person. That's enough to dishearten anybody when you see your brethren dying. That's enough to dishearten anyone when you see people that you love turning away from God and they're going out absolutely and God is absolutely annihilating them. How do you stay encouraged? You look at your promise, not theirs. God told some people in the book of Revelation, I will cast you into a bed of tribulation. That ain't my promise. Some of the Gentiles is going to be hunted down like dogs in the tribulation period. That ain't my promise. The Bible talks about a group of people that comes out of great tribulation. They're going to stand there. That blood-washed multitude, that ain't me. Come on, children. I don't get my hope and my encouragement from reading them promises because they are not who I am. So what did Caleb do in spite of all that he saw going around? And it was prophecy as well. So prophecy said folks is going to die. Prophecy said folks is going to turn away. Did not the Bible tell us in the latter day there will be some that would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils, and we're supposed to turn away? But that ain't me when you're talking about that. So I've got to preach that. I know it's that way. But when I meditate, when I focus, when I think of who I am, I don't go to 2 Timothy 4. And focus and say, now this is me. This is me. I want to simulate that. That is not me. When you're talking about a false shepherd, you ain't talking about me. When you're talking about a liar and somebody going to hell, that ain't me. But if you're talking about somebody going in a rapture, now you're talking about me. If you're talking about somebody who's going to have their body changed, that's me you're talking about. It's amazing how people can look at things from different perspectives. Jacob, we'll look at it, Lord willing, Wednesday night. Jacob worked for Rachel for 7 years. But because of his love for her, it didn't seem like his no time. It's amazing what love can do. So if a man loving a woman like that would make what he went through seemed like it was so eased up by the love he had for her. What about a man or woman, boy or girl, who loves the Lord Jesus with all of their heart? And then the things they go through in life, their love for him seemed like it just makes it so small. They stand there and say, oh my, it was nothing really. I mean, it was God's grace that helped me to go through. You see, for a person who's becoming so bitter and oh my, they're just becoming so discouraged and oh, the watch, the clock of time seems like it moves ever so slowly. But a real child of God, they don't really go by watch. They've got a calendar actually. And a calendar is not days, but it's centuries. Each day is a century because their perspective is so honed into eternity that they would say, though it comes in the night and I weep during the night, but joy will come in the morning. But yet they realize that may not be morning by man's time. It might be morning by God's time. But they're so focused beyond time into eternity where they come from. They know everything will work out all right. Because the Lord is on their side. And they're ready to rise and take their possession in the land. Oh, Lord. Notice in Joshua 14:7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. That's why there's two different reports. Them men were telling the land as it come through the view of their heart. You understand? Caleb was telling the land in the way it come from his heart. It's a good land. It's a wonderful land. Don't you understand? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Don't you see why troubled people cause trouble in homes? Cause trouble in churches? People who are peacemakers, who the real children of God are, they do not delight in causing trouble for the pastor or the deacons or the trustee or a family member. But look, friend, no matter how much we try to preach peace to troubled people, unto them troubled people find peace within themselves. We are only camouflaging, washing, whitewashing the outside. You will not be a peacemaker until you have the peace giver living inside of your soul. That's why some folks in church, they go from one mess to another to another. You know why? They are troublemakers, not peacemakers. Well, that didn't go over good, but it's the truth. I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Notice Caleb. He is a man whose life is built upon faith in the divine promise of God. He has enough understanding to know about God that God sometimes will actually give installments of fulfillment. You see, a lot of times when God makes you a promise, God doesn't give it all at one time. But God may make an installment or a payment of fulfillment on that promise. Now Caleb had to wait 45 years for the last half of that promise. But remember, the first promise was, you're not going to die. So you imagine when Caleb would get sick and God would heal him, that was an installment of the fulfillment of the first and second promise together. Don't you understand? The prophet of God said divine healing is the earnest money or the down payment of the resurrection. Don't you understand? You've lived another life in Laodicea, and by the grace of God, we've come here tonight, sane, sober, in our right mind. How did we do it? It was an installment of the future inheritance. He gave you grace day by day by day. What is that? An installment on your inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. How could this man have such faith in such discouraging circumstances? He kept adding up the installments. Daily, God kept him. Hourly, God kept him. Daily, God kept him. Weekly, God kept him. Monthly, God kept him. Yearly, God kept him. Decade, God kept him. You add them decades, 4.5 of them together. What have you got? You've got one installment after another, after another, after another, after another. So if God makes the installment of the first promise so real, it lights a flame in the heart of a believer to know he will pay off the second promise. Oh. Anybody see the devil, which door he went out of? Lord have mercy, children. How many times has the devil wore us out because we're looking for the fulfillment all at one time? And God's given us payment after payment after payment after payment. What's he doing that for? To ignite your faith in the full promise. Notice what he says when he stands there before Joshua. The Lord hath kept me alive. This is where his faith goes back to him. The Lord has kept me alive. And by him keeping me alive, give me faith. Notice in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Notice these spies were not Canaanites dressed up as message people. They were not Hittites, Amorites. They was born in the message, or come into the message and been around for 40 years or 20 years or 30 years or whatever. Been around long enough that we called them brothers. I mean, they called them brothers. Don't sit there and look at me goo-goo-eyed like you're from another planet. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Look at the meaning of this word. It's macaw. To dissolve. To be liquefied. To cause to dissolve. Consume. Cause to vanish. Figuratively, it means to intimidate. So the brothers that was in the message that began to find fault in the land began to cause the heart of the people to melt. So it discouraged them, filled them with fear, sunk their spirit, took their desire to fight. Oh my. So they had no strength left in them because the assimilation of this word. Don't you understand, friend, how important it is for the people we fellowship around and stay around. You get around some old garbage mouth and you stay around them long enough, you're going to become a garbage mouth or you're going to be sick eating garbage. That's right. It will work on your heart. 10 men are able to turn 2.5 million people over the top of a prophet's message. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 2. This is the order of battle that God gave to the children of Israel by which they're supposed to fight. And I want you to notice this. It shall be that when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Now before they go fight, this is the order in the Old Testament. The priest is supposed to come forth and speak to the people. Oh, hallelujah. And they shall say unto them, it's so hard and it's so difficult. I don't think there's any way any of us is going to be able to be saved. Dear God, run for the hills, run for the valleys, hide in the cave. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Even I, the Lord God, am all shook up. You might find that in a funny book, but it ain't in the Bible. Notice, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Now this is what the preachers were supposed to tell them before every battle. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't you see why we need men of God, anointed with the Holy Ghost, to come and give you things for your battle? Oh, hallelujah. They went on to say in verse 4, for the Lord your God, is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Verse 8. Now notice, once the preachers speak, then the officers go among the people. And the officers shall speak further unto the people and shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. So all it takes is one faint-hearted man, which cowardice spiritually is a reflection of a spiritual weakness in a person's life. Right. Spiritual cowardice. So you put one coward then amongst a bunch of people, and they go to fight and they get on the battlefield, and that coward takes off running, and other people see him running. If they're not really strong, you know what they'll do? They'll take off running too. They'll leave the generals, they'll leave the commanding officer, they'll leave them men standing there giving their life, and they'll head out of here. Why? Because fear moves that way. It will move and grip their hearts, and you're Moses actually by the Spirit of God telling them, if you're faint-hearted, go to the house. Well, since I'm the priest and the commanding officer, I'm going to tell you the Lord your God is with you. And we can take this battle. But I'm also going to tell you, if you're cowards and you can't take the pressure, get out. You can't take the pressure this end time, go find you a Baptist church. You can't take the pressure of this message. You want the blessings of this ministry and you're not willing to bear the reproach when this ministry's laughed at and made fun of. Go on back and join a Pentecostal church. If you're faint-hearted, if you're weak, if you can't take the pressure, then get away from us and leave us alone. Woo! Oh, you say you're going to drive your crowd down. You'll not be able to pay the light bill. Well, God still knows how to operate nuclear energy. I ain't worried about the light bill being paid. If I stand for the truth, he'll send somebody to pay the light bill. Don't you understand the loss of cowards is strength to the real army of God? We do not suffer when we lose cowards. We suffer when we lose soldiers that are men and women of God. The army of God does not suffer when we lose backbiters, when we lose cowards. The loss of a coward is our gain. Faintness has several different descriptive terms. A person can be faint-hearted, but that's totally different than a person becoming faint. A person can become faint when they're doing God's will and God's work. It don't mean they're faint-hearted at all. Praise the Lord. Another faintness which can happen to individuals is a faintness when a person is doing what God's called them to do, whether it's a preacher, a housewife, a farmer, a factory worker, whatever it is. And they do all God's called them to do with all of their heart. But in that, they become faint and weary. Are they faint-hearted? They're not faint-hearted. They're just faint because of what they're under, what they're dealing with. Oh, you mean that happened to good people? It absolutely happens to good people. But the key to being this way is Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. Now notice, so here is Gideon and the 300, and I must just remind you that he starts out with thousands, down to 32,000, down to 10,000, and then down to 300. And the army is getting stronger every time more walk off. But even in their strength, now there's 300 of them, and the Lord supernaturally moves among them, and yet in their journey as they're now going after the enemy, Gideon and the 300 become faint because they are chasing. Yet they don't just, I'm sick and tired of this. That's faint-hearted. Gideon was not faint-hearted, nor were the 300 faint-hearted. They were faint. They were exhausted. They were wore out, but they were still pursuing. Oh, that's the kind of Christian that I am. That's not the kind of Christian I want to be. That's the kind of Christian I am. I get faint. Oh, yes, I get faint. I get weary. I get wore. But you know what? I'm still pursuing. Why? Because I'm one of the 300 of the third pull. Other folks will get faint. Oh, well, I ain't going back no more. I'm quitting. I ain't preaching no more. Go ahead, you yellow-bellied coward, you. But we may be faint, but we are still pursuing. And the church said, you mothers may be faint in raising your children, but keep on raising them. You fathers may get faint, but keep on working. Keep on praying. Preachers, we may get faint, but keep on preaching. We are faint, but we are pursuing.
Can I have a few more minutes? Watch here when the spies come into Jericho. Listen what Rahab tells the spies. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. And that your terror is fallen upon us. And all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Praise be to God. Don't you see what Satan is doing? It's the same word here. And the word is wax. As wax is melted, as it increases near of a fire, so their heart, their spirit, their desire to fight, their courage, all of it just melted away. And what melted it away? The children of Israel. Oh, children, if you only understood and believe what that prophet told us, one child of God, the weakest Christian down on their knees, makes the devil in hell tremble. If we only really believe that, Brother Scott, with all of our hearts, and know the what has Satan done. Notice how now this is brought into retrospect when you look back at it. The inhabitants of the land of Canaan were faint, they were weak, they lost spirit to fight, they lost courage, but the devil done an amazing thing. He had 40 years prior to this told the children of Israel these lies, and they was the one who lost courage and become faint and weak and puny. When the truth of it is, you imagine these poor old Jerichoites and all the rest of these people, they had to suffer under that pressure for 40 more years before they was annihilated. They had 40 years biting their fingernails. They had 40 more years of trouble. Why? They was terrified. They was terrified, but the devil had totally turned the thing around and brought this negativism among the children of Israel. Notice here in verse 10. Now, Sister Rahab, tell us now. Tell us, what was it that made y'all's heart faint? We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, which was under the ministry of Moses 40 years back. So what they heard 40 years ago has made them still, they're scared to death. And the children of Israel saw it happen with their own eyes, but they assimilated a bunch of these liars. Well, friends, this is your Bible. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you come out of Egypt. And what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, which was still under the administration of Moses 38 years past. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. So their hearts have been melted for the last 40 years. Well, really, up to this time, it had been 38. 38 years. So they've been walking around with melted hearts. For a people that said God couldn't do it. And God hated us. God turned his back on us. And these people over here scared to death of these people. And they're looking right at the promise of God and said, God hates us. God hates us. And these people said, God loves them people so much. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. It scares me to death thinking about them people. Lord, children. God help us. May God open our eyes. What are our enemies saying about us? I ain't talking about these blabbermouths. I'm talking about down in hell where it really counts. I'm talking about down in hell. What do they say about us? And we're terrified of them. And the reality of it is the demons out of hell are scared to death of you if you're filled with the Holy Ghost under the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, what's he trying? Reverse assimilation. Reverse assimilation. Get you to think different about yourself. And never let you know what your enemy really knows who you are. Lord have mercy. So how did Rahab and all these people know it? We heard. And you know what they done when they heard it? They believed it. Even though it was against them, they believed it. Amen. Dear God, can you imagine their God roll back to the Red Sea? Lord have mercy. I ain't never seen one of our gods that, oh no, we're dead. We're goners. Oh, it's 12 o'clock. It's midnight. It's too late for us. Oh no, there's no hope for us. Praise God. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. I imagine these spies, boy, the time they left that meeting with Rahab, they thought, man, she'd make a good woman preacher. Whoa. You imagine she had such a testimony. What happened to this woman? She assimilated that which she never saw. She assimilated that which she had never heard from a true messenger herself. Lord have mercy, children. If a woman like that could believe something second or third or fourth handed, what ought we to do when God sends us anointed men of God, service after service, how we ought to assimilate it? Oh, hallelujah. Notice what happens when the heart melts. Our heart didn't melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Yep, she's a real seed, all right. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan. Now we're moving from the Red Sea to Jordan, present tense. And the waters of Jordan for the children of Israel, until we passed over, their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Don't you understand why Satan wants to focus on your spirit? If he can get your spirit down, your human spirit, your heart, your spirit, you become faint, weak. You lose your courage. For those of you who's got the Holy Ghost, I'm convinced, if he can actually know that the seal is there, he gave up on fooling on your soul a long time ago. But he knows if he can work on the heart, work on the spirit, make the heart to melt by things that the ears hear that are discouraging, then the heart will melt and you have no courage to fight. There ain't no need in even trying no more. I love God with all my heart, but it just seems like it's useless. I've tried to be the right kind of father, and look at my kids, what they've turned out to be. You mothers, oh, I've tried to be the right kind of mother. I've sacrificed and tried to raise my daughters, raise my sons. Look how they've turned out. I tried to be a Christian and tried to witness. I got lost my job. I got cut off. My unemployment run out. And here I am, this and that and the other, going, what's wrong? What's wrong? Don't you understand what it is? It's your heart. Satan's trying to melt your heart like wax. So your spirit will get down and you lose your courage. Well, so-and-so's quitting, and so-and-so's quitting, and oh, my. Seem like I struggle so much, and I go to church. Oh, I don't know if it's even worse than or not. Caleb! Amen. Don't listen to your heart. I'm talking about that part. Don't listen to your spirit. Amen. Look at your promise. For Brother Donnie, my kids, my children, but you've still got a word of promise that says bring them up in the right way. Bring them up in the right way. They may leave that way, but it don't mean that word will leave them. But we're at the end time. I know we're at the end time, but how long does it take God to get a hold of a child? A second? 2 seconds? Microsecond? He can do it faster than you can blink your eye. Don't look and let your heart become faint and melt like wax before the devil, but let your heart be strong, my brother, sister. Let our faith in the promise of the word of God said, my God made this promise and he will bring it to pass because he is God of heaven above and he's God of earth beneath. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me close. Let me read a couple more scriptures. Isaiah 13:6. How you, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. So the heart is identified with strength. So when the heart gets down, when the heart gets weak, Brother Jim, when the heart gets bashed, when the heart and the spirit becomes weary with dealing with all kinds of things and issues, or you feel like backsliding, if you got the Holy Ghost, you don't feel like backsliding, but you just become weary with life, weary with your job. Sometimes I become weary with being a preacher. I don't become weary of being a child of God. I don't become weary with my eternal life. What wears me down is the people. You give your heart. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't. They act like they care half the time. The other half the time, you don't know if they care or not care. Does it become discouraging? Very much so. But I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at what the people say out here. I'm looking at God's promise. There is a bride. There may not be but five that leaves out of this church, but years of my life will be worth preaching to five if I can preach five of you into a body chain. After all, what is the value of one soul? What is the value of one person being ready? So we have to keep our eyes off of those things that are around us, because it will cause our heart to melt like wax. And our strength just runs right out. I'm not done, but I'm done. Let's stand. Brother Caleb, run down to Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 7. No, I didn't misstate that. We've got a Caleb operating the computer in the back there, so. Ezekiel 21:7, and it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? That thou shalt answer, for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all the hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. I don't know if it's an old saying here where you're from, Tennessee, Virginia, wherever you're all from. I've heard it all my life. Said by old people, I just feel weak as water. Just weak as water. Weak as water. So your heart melts like wax. Your spirit gets faint. Are you backslid? No. You're just faint. Are you lost? As lost as Jesus can be. You're not lost. You just become faint. You just get tired of fooling with the things of life. Anybody ever get weary of life? Sickness, trouble. Look, friends, all the things that's happening all around us. My goodness, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Diseases and sicknesses and everything all around us everywhere. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. All of it can be so discouraging. It can make our heart just melt and then works over in our spirit. Your spirit gets down. You're in a world of hurt. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all been there. Your spirit can get down and not be one thing physically wrong with you. But if your spirit gets down and stays down long enough, you'll start getting sick physically. But we want to be like Gideon in the 300. We may be faint, but we're still pursuing. I said we may be faint, but we're still pursuing. Give up? Compromise? That's not in my manual. Of all my studyings, the Bible teaches me how to be saved, baptized, how to repent, how to get the Holy Ghost, how to lay hands on the sick, how to get ready for the coming of the Lord. I've never found one verse that has ever taught me how to surrender to the devil. It's not in my manual. I don't know how. Another good reason not to belong to a denomination, because they can teach you how. When the pressure gets tough, you just ease up and compromise. But that ain't in our manual. We're not trained. We don't know how to surrender to the devil. We don't know the protocol. We don't know how do you do it. How does the Holy Ghost filled Son of God surrender to the devil and compromise and make a league of nations with the devil? It's not in our manual. How does a daughter of God, how does a brother, how do we do it? It's, we don't know how to do it. We're not taught how. And you know what? Furthermore, we don't want to learn how. Praise God. I ask you, Caleb, can you stand before the Holy Ghost this day and say, 40 years old was I when Moses made that promise. I'm just as well able today to go in and come out. I'm able. Give me this mountain. What about it, Caleb? You want a mountain or you want to assimilate into the unbelief? Well, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should have more wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom to a lot of these yellow-bellied cowards mean compromise. Wisdom means stop preaching anything that gets you in trouble. Did Daniel display wisdom when he opened up his window after the king's decree was made? Not earthly wisdom, no. Now, what would a lot of you have done? You'd have went into silent prayer. You would have changed your mode of prayer from that time on. You would have no longer opened your windows. But you know what Daniel done? He wasn't being a show. He was behaving as normal. The pressure raises against us at Happy Valley. What are we going to do? Behave as normal. Crazy, in other words. Crazy, in other words, to the eyes of the world. Brother Donnie, you mean you're still going to preach? Yeah. You mean you're going to preach? Take the bleeps out. Yes. You mean you're still going to stand just as firm? Just as firm. You mean you're not compromising? You're not using wisdom? I am using wisdom. I'm following Him. That's the greatest wisdom I know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up again in the morning. Caleb said, Moses, swear on that day, saying, surely the Lord were on thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive as He said. I've had daily installments. He's kept me alive. Now payment two is laying right before me. Isn't it amazing? You know when Caleb gets his inheritance? At the end of all the possession of the children of Israel. He's the oldest one left. And he gets his inheritance last. They fight for the land for seven church ages. Years. And when Caleb gets his inheritance, then the next verse says, and the land had rest. Shalom. Caleb, after you get your inheritance, the millennium is next. Can you imagine the oldest warrior, the oldest man, the longest one waiting, and he gets his last. Praise God. Don't you love Him? You know what, friends? That ought to be our attitude. You don't have to be first, second, third, fourth, the middle, 14th. God, just give me what's mine. If I'm the last on the line, you know what? If I get my full inheritance 3 days before the change, so be it. If after, and then if it be rewritten, it says, and Donnie got his inheritance, and the bride had a millennium. Hallelujah. Just let me have it. Let me have it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I realize I've covered a lot of ground tonight. A lot of things have been said. Help us, I pray, dear God. I could see the different parts as it was ministering to different ones in this building. I ask you, Lord God Adonai, the great El Shaddai of Abraham, El Elohi of Jacob, God, the God of Bethel, to Jacob. El Bethel. May you come by this way tonight, Lord God. Whatever we have need of, our needs might be so different from one to the other. Lord Jesus, may you come and minister to the needs of your children. Lord, I sing you tonight, I have needs. I need to be closer to you. I need my vision renewed, my courage, my strength. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I pray for every man, woman, boy, or girl. Not only those present, those that will stream, and those that go back and archive it. May they be able to receive strength. I know this is not deep. It's not profound. It's not something that just holds us spellbound. But it's something that's practical, everyday living. Which is what will get us out of here one day. Help us, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, maybe they're sick here. The giant that they're facing. It's something in their body. Maybe it's their children, their home, their finances. Whatever it is, Lord. Dear God, Sister Judy Davis having surgery this week. Lord, she's still in a lot of pain. I want to send her this handkerchief that I preached with tonight. I believe your anointed word has come across this pulpit tonight. There's no holiness in my body. No holiness in my sweat. No holiness in any of us. But your holiness has been here. And your anointing has been in this place. So Lord God, we pray over this handkerchief tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray for our sister. That you'd bring healing to her body, Lord. Not only her, but others that are here. Those that may be streaming, Lord God. May your presence minister to every need. Maybe there's some, Lord. Their heart is just faint. Their spirit is down. Maybe it's just the things of life. The negative news that's all around us every day and getting worse. Just working and living in Laodicea. The pressure of being a child of God in the darkness of this age. I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage their spirit tonight. Strengthen them, Lord. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. May they not be weary in well-doing, Lord. May they be like Gideon. Hallelujah. May they be like Gideon. Though they would faint, be faint, yet they are persisting. And we know when Gideon and his army went to a town and they asked them, after this verse of scripture, for food, they wouldn't even give it to them. They kept persisting. Lord God, I hope tonight that if some of your children have come in this place and they needed some food, some sustenance, I trust they'll be able to leave here tonight, Lord, with a whole basket full, as it were. May their spirit be lifted. May their heart no longer be like wax. Instead of liquefied, may it be solidified. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. We're not ashamed to raise our hands to you tonight and say we need your help, Lord. We're not too deep or think we know so much, Lord, that we cannot raise our hands to you and say we need your strength like never before. Lord God, I need you. Lord, you've called me to be a preacher, to be a leader in this last day. I don't mind telling you, Lord. I don't mind admitting it before these people and before the world that will hear this. I need your strength like never before. I need your courage, oh God, like never before. Hallelujah. Lord, I take hope and faith in your promises, knowing that your word is forever true. May we be like Caleb. Though we see people turn to the left and to the right, 14,000 die over here, 4,000 or 5,000, whatever it is on behind us and in front of us. Lord, we keep our eyes right on the promise and knowing that you are making installments. Hallelujah. You are making installments right here tonight, Lord. We got another installment on the promise. Glory to God. You've come here once again and you've moved to on our hearts and spoken to us by your word. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name tonight, Lord God. Come and just praise him, children. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Sing it for us, Harry. What you playing? We bless your name tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Let's just worship him together now, children. Whatever you need. Just make your need known to him. Just ask him to help you through the power of assimilation, to assimilate this word that you've heard tonight. If you've got a heart that's melted like wax, may this word just go in your spirit and lift your spirit and strengthen your heart. If hearing of what God did, of the Red Sea and all that, would cause these people's heart to melt, what ought your heart do tonight? Hearing what your God is doing for you and how much he loves you. It should liquefy, it should solidify. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, I'm tired.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I'm weary, but I must go along.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Till the Lord comes and calls.
Oh, he calls me.
Me away. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the morning.
Hallelujah.
Morning is bright.
It's so bright.
And the land.
Yes, Lord.
And the night is as fair
as
the day.
Everybody. Oh, hallelujah.
There will be peace in the valley.
Yes, Lord.
For me someday.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, now what would 50 years, 60 years, 70 years of being a Christian, having trials every day, tests every day, tribulations, and yet your body's changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. We're finally gathered with the masses as they enshroud around the throne of God, and the saints set upon our Lord Jesus' head, finally, His crown. And then you're able to clearly view eternity. Can you imagine all that you've went through, all of that? It'll just dissipate in a matter of seconds. What might seem so heavy and so difficult now, just to see Him crowned would be worth it all. Praise God. Then to sit down at that table thousands of miles long, and that's just the beginning. Then the 3.5 years of the honeymoon, just eating the wedding supper, and then coming back in the millennium. Oh my. All that lays ahead for you. That's the people of God. Don't be discouraged. Don't fear them. Don't tremble. For the Lord your God will lead you to the land that He's promised you.
Thank you, Lord.
He will not change His promise. He cannot lie. Hallelujah. You believe it? Don't you believe the bad reports against your message? Don't you believe the bad reports against your word? Oh no, your land. Don't do it.
Amen.
They're afraid of you. That's the truth of it.
Glory.
Them demons are scared of you. That's right. But we're more than conquerors. I said we're more than conquerors. Let's sing it together here as we prepare to go. We're made more than overcomers, conquerors in this life. We're not going to survive. We're not going to barely hang on. Oh, but Brother Donnie, if the righteous scarcely be saved. That's right. If the righteous scarcely be saved, that's Lot. The bride ain't scarcely saved. The church will scarcely be saved. Barely. You was already saved before you was born. Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory! Before I was ever born, my name was on that book. How can I scarcely be saved? I can't even scarcely be lost. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I hear the prophet of God say there's only one form of eternal life, and that was you. Glory. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I wish somebody would help me worship Him. I wish somebody would help me worship Him. I wish there's some Calebs in this building that would say, I'm more than able. Hallelujah. Give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing it. Hey, let's change it and sing, He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there. Payments on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Let's sing it now. Oh, an on-time God. Yes, He is. Job said, an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time. Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Come on, church, let's sing it now. Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes. He never laid on His payments, children. On-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, He may not Y'all ever have a house payment or a car payment? And they say, pay by debt so-and-so. They so-and-so. If they don't, they can put a slap of surcharge on you. Or they might give you 5 days grace period. He's an on-time God. He pays his payments right on time. Oh, he's an on-time God in the grace period. Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Yes, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I said he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, an on-time God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, when you're down in the valley and you don't know what to do, just keep calling on Jesus, cause he will see you through. Well, keep your eyes on the promise. Don't look to the left or the right, but keep looking up, cause he's coming, children. Might be in the middle of the night. Oh, he's an all-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, all-time God. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. But he'll be there right on time. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, saints. Come on, the fear of God. See you in the morning. He's an all-time God.